Yeah, Matthew's Gospel 18. I believe Nigerian Church. I believe you're online. Let me know if you're online. Just drop a message for me and let me know if the audio is clear as well. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. Are you there? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, if you look through verse 19 carefully, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. We said the word there, teach, means to what? Make disciples. I've not gotten a message from you in Nigerian church yet. It says, teach there means to make disciples, right? So he says, make disciples of all nations, right? And baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Now we see clearly there that the goal of training, or the goal of making disciples, or what we'll use to make disciples, will be to teach. Right, will be to teach, and the teaching will be around observing the things whatsoever I've commanded you, because although I'm with you always. So there's an assurance of the fact that Jesus is with us always. Say, Jesus is with us always. Say, Jesus is with us always. Right now, but the most important thing I wanted to see there is verse 19 when it says, go into the world. Now, we said go into the world and train people. The question now becomes, what exactly is it about training? Why is our ministry focused on training? You know, our vision as a church is to what? See men come into the reality of God's love and what? And to train them for the work of ministry. And we do that by revealing what? Christ, right? Through the teaching of the word, we reveal Christ, right? From the scriptures, and to what? Demonstrate love in all facets of life. Now, the training part of ministry is the most important part in that vision statement, because you see, whilst we have lots of people saved, if a lot of people are not trained, they will not do the work of ministry altogether. Whilst we have a lot of people trained, if saved rather, if a lot of people are not trained, like we taught yesterday, God is building, is that correct? And in God's building, we are co-laborers, is that correct? We are builders as well with God. We are working with God. God is working in us. God is working through us. Is that correct? So it means that as believers, we need to ensure we always remind ourselves that God expects something from us. In a world where we find ourselves, it's very easy for people to get carried away with the idea of Christianity. You know, there is the idea of Christianity, and there is the substance of Christianity. Let me say it that way. One of the things I want to do in the next few weeks is a series. I've said it a while ago, but I think it's high time we do it. Probably, maybe if I don't do it before the end of this year, it'll be next year. And the goal of that series is to basically see the examples of people, both in scriptures and outside scriptures, who have put their lives on the line for the work of ministry, for the work of the gospel. Are we together? You know, when you get yourself involved in the Christian faith, one of the things you by default kiss. You know, there's a song we used to sing, goodbye world, I stay no longer with you. Goodbye pleasures of sin, I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind. If you know that song, we were born again last week. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of. Goodbye, goodbye world, goodbye world. Now, you see that goodbye world is sweet to sing. Even when he's laughing, because you know it is sweet to sing, right? Yeah, goodbye world is very melodious to sing, but I hope you know that saying goodbye world actually means you are kissing convenience goodbye. Yeah, Pastor Seku said that when he was in God's Palace in Nigeria about 4 or 5 years ago, right? That embracing the gospel means you are kissing goodbye to convenience. You are kissing goodbye to convenience, right? Yeah, it means that you will not serve Jesus on your terms, right? I'm going to come with so many examples of the different dispensations we've had in the Christian history, right from the book of Acts. And also we'll see how most of the apostles died. We see the example of one who was put in oil, in boiling hot oil. Are we together? It's the one that you call John that wrote the book of Revelation. You see the one who was crucified and said, "Don't crucify me the way you crucified my master. Turn me upside down." Are we together? You see the ones who were, you know, went as far as India. You know, we'll look through that. And also, you know, sometimes we think that the stories of the Bible are just stories that people just say. But you look at people like you and I who are putting their lives on the line for the gospel. Are we together? Right? I remember there was one of the stories I read, right, about a woman who had about seven children, right? And the seven of them decided they're going to serve Jesus all their lives, including the woman. Right? And because they wanted the woman to bend, they picked each of the children from the last one to the first one and started killing them one by one as she stood her ground. You see, some believers today, they will say, I will not save eternally. Just say I give up. I just say I'm not doing Christianity again. They will leave you. After all, God needs you on this side of heaven. Is that what comes to our mind? If they put gun on your neck right now and they say Jesus or you denounce Jesus, quickly, because my sins are forgiven. But I hope you know that, you see, in those critical points of decisions lies where we see where your true faith is and your true conviction is. You know, it's easy to serve God when everything is going fine. Are we together? You know, it's very easy to, you know, be in church when everything is going fine, when everything is, you know, jumping up, going up, everything is going seemingly well. But you see, there are times in life where things will not go as you are as you're expecting. So a lot of times, you know, we only serve God when things are convenient. You know, some of us think that because maybe people like us who pastor, we don't go through things, right? And it's not the truth. Amen? It's not the truth. See, that I show up every Sunday, every Wednesday, back and forth, back to back, doesn't mean that everything is going as I would expect it to go. Altogether. Doesn't mean that everything. I will say this today, and just because we have the Nigerian church as well together. You know, in the last 6 to 8 weeks, my company in our team decided to bring down 24 project managers to 5, including me. Who is here that knew that? Let me, if you are here, that you sense that something was wrong with me over the last 8 weeks. That we're bringing down 24 project managers to 5. If you were here, you knew that by looking at my body language. Lift your hands, let me see. I know in that 8 weeks, we've had different, you know, I've had some of you come with beautiful, loving testimonies, lovely jobs, lovely. You know, if I didn't tell you, you would never know. You know what it means to bring 24? You know, 2, 4, 2, 5. 5 is number of grace. So only the men that are graceful. That will survive. But there's none of you here who knew. If I don't, this is one of the lists. If I didn't say it, you will never know. Your mind is asking, so what is the next? What is the conclusion? What is testimony? Testimony is that I'm righteous. That's the testimony. Praise God. I'm righteous, right? And that's because one of the things I've learned to do over time, which is, you know, I always tell your pastor should be an example of who you should become. I've had trips in their numbers. I've gone out of my way to pastor you all, both outside of the church, both inside the church. I've spent hours on the call with some of you over the last 8 weeks, but never for once have I mentioned. Are we together? I always tell your pastor is an example of who you can be like. Some of us now, the day they give that announcement, that's the last time. I was just at work one day on the Tuesday and the next Wednesday morning. In fact, you know the funny thing, the news came before I preached on Wednesday. Yeah, before we came to Hope City. The news just came. I just saw one. So, you know, I was just on Tuesday and I just saw one calendar news in my one invite. And I noticed they invited over 120 of us. What are they sharing? I jumped on the call on that Wednesday, right? And I said, you cannot know the day in Hope City. Go and check all the videos. We can't know. Christianity will not always be comfortable. I don't teach you what I don't practice. I don't teach you who I am not. No. Imagine that Wednesday as of 4 p.m. I just send general broadcast to everybody. Please, let us stay at home and pray today. Please, just let's pray. I have some promptings in my heart that we need to reach out to the nations. I have some dark promptings. But yes, what I came around, still among the first to be in church, still doing all like I would do, still minister and lay hands on some of you. It's part of life. Oh. Amen? It is part of life. I'm saying not every time would you have, it would have been different if it was 1 week or 2 weeks. I'm talking about 6-8 weeks. This was around late July. You know, after you just cross your birthday. If I tell you, the number of things that happened within that July and August before that period, it didn't shock me. You can't allow life to dictate how you serve Jesus. Are you with me? You can't allow. Don't wear your challenges on your face like a gown. Don't wear what you are going through on your face as a gown. Why? Because that's what I always teach you. Don't derive your joy from mundane things. I will accomplish just wake up. Let me not say what I was on my mind. But it's very intense. You just wake up and just decide that 20 something, I mean, maybe 19, 15 plus families should find. And you know the unfortunate thing, the day they already notify you that the day result comes out, the next day you stop. Do you understand? And you know they would have written in somewhere in the policy, in that contract you sign. Some of you, when you get contract, you don't read it. You just, out of joy, just say, glory to God, I've just gotten a job. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Until one day you just come out and say, they say, we want to also. They go back to that document, page 5, section 2.3a. And we're together. Now, why am I saying this? I'm just trying to let you understand that the fact that I pastor here does not mean that I don't have things I'm going through. Some people just believe. I don't know what makes you think that way. You know, pastors, I do not do ones. How will pastors just be at top? How will pastors just... You know, and I was talking to someone recently, I said, do you know, there are very few of you who in our relationships, you have ever asked me how is work. And there is none of you who I don't know either where you work, where you started working. For some of you, I know how much you earn. For some of you, how many holidays you have in your company. For some of you, I know how your work goes every week in, week out. You know, we ought to be there for one another. Is that correct? Yeah? And that's why a lot of times, you see, in America, one of the latest statistics is that we have more churches closing down and opening. You know why? Because people just expect that pastors don't go through anything. See, to be a pastor is not an easy task. It's the most complex. It's not one of the. It is the most complex. It's not one of the. It's the most complex. When you see someone pastor two or three, that's a lot. Think of yourself now. Have you seen the mirror lately? Have you looked into the mirror lately? Who do you see? You're a bundle of issues, man. Are we together? And imagine someone having to deal with you. You know, some of you are cell leaders. You know, in the last few years of doing cell, your eyes have seen a little. Your eyes have tasted a little. Right? It's not easy. And that's why, you see, you need to ensure you keep taking out time to pray for your pastors. Keep taking out time to pray for your leaders. Not casual prayer. Take out days and fast and pray for your pastors. Because the truth is, I take out time and pray for each and every one of you. You know, who preached here yesterday? How many hours do you think I stood for yesterday?
Five.
No, I got here till 3. And I started standing from 3 o'clock till 9:30 when I got home. How many hours is that? 6 hours, right? And I got back home. Do you know when I woke up this morning? No, it's kind of sorry. What kind of answer is that one? What kind of political answer? You're supposed to be a politician. I woke up before you. What? You know, let me put it in context what she's saying. She woke up at, because I walked into the room at 6:40. Is that correct? Yeah. I walked in at 6:40. I was up since 3 o'clock this morning. What was I doing? Do you know what I was doing from 3 o'clock till 6? I was praying for all of you. That's all I was doing. You know, I didn't need to. You know, I'll be all right if I did not do it. I hope you know, I'll be all right. I'll be all right if I didn't do it. Those are the sacrifices. The question is, how many times or how many of these kind of things will I come and be saying every Sunday, every Wednesday? Are we together? If you know somebody who you want that person to have IBP quickly, just tell the person, please go and pastor. He's not serious. But thank God for his strength. But you know, one of the things I say to myself, I always remind myself, I'm not the pastor going to the worst situation. Are you here? I'm not the pastor going to the worst situation. If you carry another pastor, let him come and stand beside me, I will be crying for him. I'm saying the Christian faith has nothing to do with comfort. You can't serve God from a comfortable table, from a comfortable wing or angle. That does not mean other parts of your life will not be catered for. But the truth remains, primarily, you need to pay attention to what exactly is expected from you. And we're together. In those periods, I was still going out on the streets to preach. In those periods, I was still getting people saved. In those periods, I was still getting people healed. In those periods, I was still praying for people. I was giving the example of a woman who, you know, she had 7 children and they killed each of them until it got to her. And she said, no, she's not going to bow. And they killed her. Yeah? What do you think of men who they've been put, oh, there's another one who they used, there are several of them, they used cane with razor to flog them. Yeah, that's similar to what happened to Jesus now. If it's some of us, see, Jesus has bought it all. How would they flog Jesus and flog me? No way. You understand? No way. I cannot bow before men. How can they? It's just probably people say there's something called the law of double jeopardy. These are people that study law. Eh? There's a law of double jeopardy. You know the law of double jeopardy? It means when somebody has taken responsibility for an issue or has been punished for an issue, you can't be punished again for the same issue. You get the point? You know, and what each of us is to just take the fact that we are eternally saved, that Jesus has died on the cross for us, we will not, you know, say, no, I can't flog Jesus and flog me. No way. Right? You cannot serve Jesus from a place of comfort. Now, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means make people disciples. You see, who determines the pace of the discipleship? It's not the people. It's Jesus. Altogether, Jesus determines the pace of what discipleship is. That's why as a local church, we always ensure that, you know, when you are coming to church, it's not a place where you are coming to show off your clothes or show off your attire or show off your whatever it is. It's a place where you are coming to learn. You are a student. That is why you should always have a culture and practice of having your Bible, having your writing materials, taking notes when the word is being taught. You know, I always say it, right? The truth remains that in your head, your brain is not as sharp as what you write. If I tell you something today and you say you want to keep it in your brain, and I tell you 20 words and you keep it in your brain and you write those 20 words down, 20 years from now, if you remember where you kept that paper, you will be able to recite the 20 words to me than trying to keep them in your brain. That's why we see the church as a school. We come to church. What do? We are paying attention, looking through what exactly is God wanting to speak to our hearts. What is God instructing me regarding? So that's why there should always be that practice of what? You are writing notes. You are taking notes. Yeah? Bless my parents for the early example they gave me while I was growing up. Right? From when I started writing, they started giving me notebook to take to church. I went together. I have my notes that I've written in church for over 20 years. I still have them piled up. Yeah, when I look through it, I remember I used to write in a particular structure. Yeah, I write the preacher. I write the preacher's name. Usually, most times, my dad. Write text, the theme text. Then write topic, right? Then I write. You see, that practice is what is still helping me today. I went together. When 20 years plus now, 20 plus years from now, if I pick the notes I want to teach, I might not be able to teach exhaustively from those notes. But he built in me a practice such that if I hand over my note in any special meeting to any one of you, you can successfully use that to teach what was taught in that meeting. That's the attitude of a student. That's the attitude of one who is, you know, who is a believer. It should be for every believer, not some believers. Are we together? It's for every believer, not some believers. Yesterday, we looked at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are of God. Right? Yeah? All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. Right? And has given us a ministry of reconciliation. You see, that ministry of reconciliation, if you don't do it, you've not done it. Amen? If you don't do it, you've not done it. There is no alternative to it. 1 Peter 1:21 will show you that Jesus Christ leaves an example for us to follow in his what? In his steps. Look at 1 Peter quickly. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1:21. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope, my what? Might be in God. You see, seeing ye have purified what? You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Look at 25. The word of Lord, what? Endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You now go to 2 Corinthians. Now go to chapter 2 rather. It says in verse 21. It says, for even hereunto, First Peter 2:21. Were ye called? Because what? Christ also suffered for us, leaving what? Leaving us an example that ye should what? Follow in his steps. So did Christ suffer? Was a suffering for us? Is that good? But is it good enough? Let me say it carefully. When the believer reads about the Christians, the sufferings of Christ, and he says, oh yes, Christ suffered for us. Is that good? But is it good enough? Is that the end? What is more that the believer should see from there? That's an example that the believer should follow. So does the Christian faith also involve suffering? There's a song we sing when growing up. Me, I will not suffer. I will not beg for bread. You know that song, right? Me, I will not suffer. Okay, that's good. But do you know that part of the resurrection redemption is suffering? Part of the meal you will eat is suffering. Now, I understand the dynamics people come from that song, basically, trying to say that their needs are met, provision is met, and the likes. You know, but it's a sort of way that a kind of song like that can put in your mind that anything suffering is not of God. But I'm trying to prove to you that sometimes suffering is part of the mix. Yeah, it is part of the mix. Yeah, it is part of it. So it says Christ suffered for us, leaving for us what? An example that we follow in his stead. Some of us, what we see is, you know, Acts 10:38, how many of you can quote that? How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with what? And power, who what? Went about doing good. Is that correct? Healing those that... Do you think Jesus was somebody who went around prioritizing people over himself? Yes. Was Jesus selfish? Was Jesus selfless? Okay, so if Jesus is selfless, the example we follow, is it a selfless love? So it means that when we preach selfish love, we're not preaching the love of God. If God were to remain selfish, we will not be delivered from our sins today. Excuse me. Yeah? So you realize that the example that Jesus will give for us is an example that will follow in his steps. Some of us, what we see is, we look at the footprint of Jesus in the sands of time, and we are intentionally jumping and pass. We call it every pit that the devil ducks for me. You jump and pass it. Are we together? We are definitely seeing clear-cut examples. But what happens? yeah, who will jump and pass. We say, no, 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 no. He has gone through that route, so I will not follow. And I'm saying to you, dear saints, the sufferings of Jesus is an example that we follow in his steps. What does that mean? Jesus was one who did not prioritize his comfort over doing the will of the Father. Yeah? Are there times when it might seem comfortable when you are doing the will of the Father? Yes, there might be times like that. I'm trying to say that you don't allow the comfort determine how you do the will of the Father. For instance, some people, how do people pick their local churches when they go to a new environment? You know, I went to church where there's what? Where there's AC. You know, I like LED screen. You know, I like LED screen. I just like the screen to be popping. Is that correct? You know, I like a church where, you know, the choir, they are very top-notch. Are those things beautiful? We are walking towards all of those things. We are trying to get there. I think we have some of those things as well. Are we together? You know, we're in an auditorium today right now. Some of us, if we're not careful, in the next few minutes, we have to look for cardigan and wear. Look for jacket and wear. We are not better in the will of God than those who are fanning themselves and they are trying to kill mosquitoes around them, even in the afternoon. You know, there are some places mosquitoes dwell in the afternoon. Yeah? You know? Yeah? I'm saying they are not out of will. There are some sacrifices that some will make. You know, one of the things you realize is that there are some people, they could have done lots of things with their professions, for instance. But you see, I love them sometimes. You see that they drop those professions and those things and try and reduce the pace of their growth. Just like me, for instance, right? At the pace at which I was going in my career a couple, maybe 2 years ago, right now, I shouldn't still be a project manager. I've had opportunities to venture into, I've had recommendations. I still have on my workday page, recommended for senior project manager. But you see, because of my priority as the gospel, I've looked away from those things. It's not the easiest because it's more money. And it's not something that's beyond what I can do. Anything that makes you pastor, you can be a lead project manager. Forget it. You can pastor. Now imagine you're not pastoring two churches. You can be a program manager. Forget it. You'll be all right. Is it not my relationship? You will keep it. Right? But I've decided deliberately, right? Yeah? I deliberately decided to stay away from some of those opportunities. But now, let me now point your attention to something. Okay, some of you are waiting for the testimony of this thing. So I know that some of you are looking like this. When will he drop it again? Okay. Okay, so I got an email that was part of the five. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Your heart is there. Okay, do you want to give me your job? Right? But do you know that should say something to you? That whilst I'm doing something good as a pastor, I'm doing something good in my career. You see? If nothing has spoken to you before in God's palace, let this one speak to you. That means I don't tell you what I don't practice. I always tell you, you can do well in your career and do well in ministry. I'm an example. I'm not waiting for you to tell me it's like pastors. And I know. I know I'm an example. I know what I've been through in the last 1-2 years as a pastor. I should pack up church. So imagine having to be selected as 5 out of 20. That's huge, though. That means I'm doing something right. I was standing side by side with people who had been project managers for way over 20 years. So imagine where my heart would be. You know, it's not like I was sure that I would beat all of them. It's not like I was convinced that my work is so top-notch, they cannot do without me. That meeting my heart too was like, hey, this is what I really do without me. But I should tell you that I'm doing something right. I should tell you it's possible. Some of us just believe that, oh, you know, one or the other must suffer. No, it's not always like that. Guess the report they used to judge this event. 2024 report. We've done mid-year review this month, middle of the year, July. But they didn't use that report. They used 2024 report. Now imagine if I was not serious in 2024, saying 2025 was my year. Are you learning something? You're not the one that decides for the organization. Imagine I was saying this 2024, I don't like the number. And I was going through a whole lot. The only people who know a little were leaders. 2024 was the most interesting year for me as a pastor. Both as a pastor, pastoring churches, and as a pastor by proxy under my father. It was the most. But you see, there's such a thing called knowing how to place priorities where priorities should be. So that sometimes you forfeit certain things. I could have got it. There's a way I would have walked last year that church would have been affected, but they'll probably force a senior PM role on me. But you know, I was having a conversation with one of my career manager at the time, right? I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm ready for this. She was asking, no, but you have everything. But you know, I can't go and announcing, you know, I pastor now. I said, you know what? I think when it's right, I think give me another 1-2 years. Let's just see how it goes. And let's, you know, that's what I told her last year. Because on my mind, your lives are the most important to me. I'm going to give an account for every one of you. Every one of you. You are my most prized responsibility. You know why? Because on the judgment day, when I'll stand before the audience of one, right, nobody's going to ask me any question about my career. The question will be, what have you done with the souls that, because you know it's a privilege to pastor great people like you. I always say it to myself, and I always say it to the leaders, yeah, one of the things I always remind myself every day, not every week or every day, is that I am privileged to pastor some of you. There are lots of you here that if it's that we'll meet on the road, I can't stand before you. It's not true. Trick question. Yeah, but the truth is the truth. There are some of you, right? If we're to stand by side on, I will meet at KFC. I cannot stand beside you. But I always see it as a privilege. You see, when you see your commitment and service to God, always see it as a privilege to serve God. Always see it as a privilege. Don't think that you are doing God a favor. That's what makes some of us not get the best out of the things of God. They're not doing God a favor. I hope you know that if you are not there, God will use somebody else. That's the mindset you must always have. That's the mindset you must always have. If I'm not there, God will use somebody else. So it always makes me humble. And I hope you know, God can raise somebody from the back of the bush. He has done it several, he can do it again. God can bring someone from the back of the bush and make him the voice that everyone listens to. Look at David in the Bible. Where was David? He was just at the back of the bush. In fact, it wasn't even, if you look at the way they brought David, you can tell that he wasn't anticipating being one of the top people in the nation. They were together. But God brought him from the back of the bush and gave him a voice that controlled the world at the time. Have you not seen some people, for instance, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're frequent on social media, you know, you sometimes you just hear some pastors come on from the blues and you think they started ministry yesterday until they tell you that they've been doing this thing for 25 years nonstop. The only thing that makes that thing come out that way is because they've put in the effort behind the scene. The question is, what are you doing when nobody is seeing you for ministry? Now, I'm focusing on ministry in this particular teaching. We've already focused on this one of faith and folly, right? We've told you to build capacity. Is that not correct? We've already built capacity. I mean, you are not building. I hope you are building capacity. Let that be, you know, right? But I'm talking about ministry. What is it behind the scene? Blesses my heart as a pastor when I speak to some of you and I start hearing conversations of issues you're having when you're going out of evangelism. To me, it just makes you see that there is much more that you are doing behind the scene that I'm seeing, which is the ideal way it should be. Yeah? It's now unfortunate when you now see people who are complaining. You know, I was watching a video by Pastor Chris Akilomi. I think it was yesterday evening. Right? And was saying that, you know, some people will complain and say, that church, they'll be asking us to come to church at 8 o'clock. And they'll be asking us to go by 2 o'clock. You see, you are complaining about that, but you are forgotten that Monday to even some of us Saturday, you go to work, you leave the house at 6 a.m. to get to work at 8 a.m. so that you can come back by 10 p.m. every day. When it's time for the thing, why do we think the things of God must be the one that suffers first? Have you not found that even in school? I remember in school those days, right? I remember somebody was telling me, I think, even because of how I was committed to this choir, he said, this is my final year, I want to really face my school. Even the choir wasn't committed. You know, some people can have an illusion of commitment. If she's content in the choir, say, you know, you say, I don't know the reason why I'm failing in school. Why should the reason why you're failing in school? Because you are committed to Jesus. What a statement. I feel like, let's assume that's the reality. I think you are too bold to say it. Your boldness is supernatural. How can you say the reason you are failing is because I'm committed to the things of going, oh, this is all this every day. The question is, I've not done the statistics. How many hours do you, if let's say you're not somebody who has a private Christian life, how many hours do you spend with God in a full week? You know, you realize that in life, an average person spends more on their career than with God. Let's even leave average. People are above average a little. You spend more time on your career. Your career takes you an average of 35 hours in a week. Right? Is that not correct? To some, 40, 45. Excluding travel time. Right? When you take that, some of us sleep 10 hours. When you move 10 hours times 10 times 7 days, is 70 hours. When you add it to 40 hours in a week, that's 130. Out of 160, you have 38 hours left. 16 on Instagram. 5 on Twitter, then 7 on TikTok. Which one is now left? Say, no, Pastor, all these things are just looking very, very, very bad. Do I know Jesus? Why do you always think the first that must suffer is the ministry of Jesus? It just really means you don't have the right priorities. It means you don't have a conviction. For some of us, when push comes to shove, is that the correct word? When push comes to shove, we realize that we don't actually love Jesus. I love sitting at your feet, it's for Pastor. I love hearing what you say. Yeah, it's pastor's grammar. But just in church, let's sing it together. And I love knowing your desire. Some of us is not true. I'm so pleasure to obey is a lie. But that favor party, like your favor is like sunrise. Driving all my night. Who doesn't have night? Everybody has night. So everybody likes sunrise that will drive night. And I love sitting. You are not sincere. Dear saints, after a meeting like one we had yesterday, don't allow the hands I laid on you go in vain. For some people, they just use their deposits of laying on of hands. They just receive, they carry every hand has been laid on them. You know, for every time hands are laid on you, right, something supernatural has been quickened on your inside. But you know, in physics, for instance, there's something you call kinetic and potential energy. Is that correct? What is potential energy?
Yes.
MGH. Is that correct? Yeah. When something is not in motion but has the potential, that's why it's called potential energy. Kinetic, 1/2 mv², right? Hey, I still remember some of these things. Right? That means it's in motion. A lot of times, we have what you call potential, but we have not acted on it to make it kinetic. You have a switch in this room, is that correct? The room has a switch, and that switch has the potential to do what? To bring on light. What do you have to do for there to be light in this room? You have to act and flip the switch for there to be light. For some of us, we have the light, we have the switch. We are still shining as darkness. We are still living in darkness, as it were. That's because we've not taken that action to deliberately what? Flip the switch, to deliberately move and act. A lot was given yesterday and a lot was received, I believe so. Right? But the question now becomes, what will you do? You see, let that reflect in your devotion privately. Let this reflect in your outreaches. Where, whilst you have casual outreaches on your way to work, on the train, on the bus, on the tram, right? You also have days where you set apart for outreaches. When you're going out to witness to the lost. When you're going out to preach to another. When you're getting out of your comfort zone to get another person healed. Just like Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. The question is, how good are you doing? What good are you doing? We're together. Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. He says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to what? Save those which was lost, or those that are lost. Yeah? So what was Jesus' mission on the earth? To save those who are lost. By default, what should our mission be? To save those who are lost. That means we are collaborating with Jesus to bring in his will on the earth to be done. We believe the gospel. We are righteous. The gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ, you know, has given his life for us. Yeah. That, you know, people have lots of definitions for that. But the truth remains that we receive the eternal spirit of God, and that's permanent. But the question we should always ask ourselves is, how is that reflecting in your daily life? Acts 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and they had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Right? So, after they preached the gospel, they are taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, confirming the souls. That means they continued in training. They preached the gospel. That word they preached the gospel means to bring forth a good news, or to announce a glad tidings, or to preach concerning Christ's salvation. Are we together? Are we together? You know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the man called Evans Robert. Is that, remember that name? Yeah? Do you remember that name? What did he do? Yeah, the man that brought a sound revival in Wales, is that correct? In the early 1900s, right? Did I tell you his age? Yeah, he was in his 20s. He was about 25, 26, just like Apostle Joseph, blah, 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 blah. The question is, see what he did. Do you know it was recorded that in that time when that thing was happening, police did not have work in the city? Because everybody lived right. The pubs were empty. One man yielded his life. Don't you think there were other things he could have done with his life? Don't you think there were other things he could have achieved in his life? And now, this is not to say that you should not have a life where you achieve things. You should have goals. Every year, I start my year with goals. Every year, I try to ensure that I have goals that I'm targeted towards the end of the year. Right? Every year, I ensure that during the middle of the year, I review my goals to see how far have I come. Every year, I try to score myself at the end of the year. Right? The least I've had as my score is probably 85% in all the goals. I'm talking about both spiritual, financial, academic, everything, souls, everything, goals put together. Right? But even much more away from supernatural, I'm talking about things that are what you call carnal. Right? But the truth remains that don't plan or have goals that are so worldly focused. Did you hear that? Don't let your goals, when you want to talk about goals for career, you have 25 lines. When it's goals for the kingdom, you just have one line. And what is your goal? Make sure you don't miss any church service. Some people have very interesting goals. Make sure this year you are not missing any church service. The question becomes, if it is the way every Christian is living their life, who will God use? If that is the way every Christian is living their life, who will God use? Have you always asked yourself a question? If everybody in the Christian faith were to be acting like you, will God's will be done in the earth? Put that to you as a question. If every Christian in the Christian faith around the world is acting like you, will God's will be done? Let me put that differently. I want to use a very careless example. You know how some parents have what you call favorite children? You know that, right? Is that correct? Some parents just have favorite. I know favorite children can come from different experiences, right? It can come from both, maybe, you know, the reason for the birth or the time of the way the birth came, the way the pregnancy came. For some, it could also be a sense of responsibility that they've taken in the home. Right? Let's use the angle of responsibility in the home. If a mother has 7 children and has a favorite, not based on the logistic of how the pregnancy came and the likes, but just how they take ownership of things in the home and ensure that things are well at home. If a mother had a favorite of 7, Let's use the example and flip it and let's imagine. Now, remember, God doesn't. But let's imagine God had favorites. The question is, will you be among them? That every time your mother thinks about that particular child, or the mother thinks about that particular child, she's so relaxed and happy and excited that, oh, I give birth to a true child. Such that even though the remaining six, they don't have a good head on their shoulder, I'm rest assured and okay with this one person who is doing well. Let's assume God were to have that slant as well. Let's assume, like I said, assumption. Do you think you can fit yourself as one of God's favorite children? And that's not a question where you can either say yes or no, right? Because the question, but actually should help you see, okay, can you be better? Because you also have some other, you know, you see, whilst we're going to stand before the audience of one, God is going to use us or judge us alongside with other people as well. Let me say that differently. I'm saying for people who usually have excuses, there are people in more difficult positions than you that didn't give excuses and they did what God wanted them to do. There are people in more complex situations than you. There are people that are going through worse things than you. And in their going through worse things than you, they were not giving those things as excuses. You know, one of the cheapest things to give in life is what? Excuse. I know excuse is very easy. It's very easy. Very easy to give excuse, right? And that's why, as a pastor, one of the things I ensure I do is that some of these things, we need to keep saying it over and over again so that we have our hearts in the best place. If God wants to bring a sense of revival, let me ask you a question. A sense of revival, for instance, to a city like Edinburgh. Let me use those words carelessly. Can God think of you? Can God think of me? Will you be on God's mind, knowing that if I put this fire on this guy, on this lady, on this man, on this boy, on this girl, I know that they will do something with it on the streets of Edinburgh. You know, they would turn Scotland around. You know, God, a father will not give a responsibility to a person who is not responsible. You know that now, right? Yeah? There's a sense of responsibility you cannot have because you don't show responsibility. And that's the way the mind of a believer should always think. How responsible am I? How responsible am I? You see, for a world like us where, you know, in the world we're in, where social media makes a lot of things very obvious, you see, there's some things you don't compare your Christian life with. Because if you allow those things to be your comparison factors, you will think you are a responsible person. You get what I'm trying to say? There are some people you cannot afford to compare your Christian life with, you know, and that's why, you know, some people say, after all, I might not even do better than Sister so and so in that church. John, what did they even do in that their church? They just come, they just dance. After all, I come to a church where they don't dance, and they just, you know, preach the word and we just go home. But you forgot that there's another sister who is in another church. Right? You know, there's a brother who came around a couple of weeks ago. I stopped some of you as leaders to ask a question. So he was telling me from the local church where he was coming from. And he was just telling me, you know, so he eventually mentioned, you know, he was saying that how he was very sort of overwhelming. You know, but guess how many days they meet in a week? Why do you think seven? Okay, you were there. Yeah? 7 days, back to back. Are we together? Yeah? 7 days. You know, the truth is that there are people who are also walking like we are walking. And they are going for those meetings 7 days. Don't think people that are there are serious. You see, if you're unserious, just say you're unserious. Just leave it there. Do you understand? Just, you know, I wish you something. There are things that people are doing that the goal is, when you think about it, it should spoil you. And if at all you think about it, right, and you think, never think the service of a man to his God is too much. Please write that in your note and put asterisk. I'll write your name. Joshua, can you hear? Write your name there. Can you hear? Never ever get to a point where the theology you are arguing with people is that you people in your church, yourself, is it you that killed Jesus? Don't be there, you will soon get there. You get what I mean? If you are there, you will soon get to that point of laxity. You will soon get to that point of where you will not have a Christian life again. Let me tell you a better way to approach things like that. Yeah. So don't. So if somebody tells you that they meet you 7 days in their house, just say If you check it very well, of them, they are all not. They don't go to work. They don't. There are people who do online prayer and they've not missed one day. How many years have they been doing it from now? For people, like maybe like 4 or 5 years since COVID started, they've not missed one day and they go to work. In fact, some of them are managing directors of top organizations. I hope you know that the most difficult time to pray is in the morning. Okay, experience. The most difficult time to pray is in the morning. That you wake up on the morning and put your alarm to ring at 6:15 to pray. So when you see somebody's community and service, they say, with all your community, you don't even know the word. Why? How did we start getting there? It's not like somebody that is on the bus. Somebody is preaching, somebody stood up in the bus and he's shouting on the bus with his Bible. Right? And he's saying, repent! The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is coming back soon. You know, sit down on the bus and say, I wish he knew the word. Yeah, the kingdom of God is not coming back. The kingdom of God is here. We are in the kingdom. We are in the day. The day of his plan. You are hungry. You are seeing somebody who is... You know, have you ever stood up in the bus to preach? Have you ever stood in the streets to preach? You know the guts it takes. I'm saying, even after hands have been laid on you and they imparted boldness into your life, that is potential. It takes kinetic, not kinetic, kinetic, for you to stand in front of people, right, and hold the microphone and preach. There's some of you here shared one video with me of a brother who does it somewhere in England. You know, and I've seen, I think, 2 or 3 videos that people have shared with me as well, you know. And I'm saying, this is another level of audaciousness, whereby you are standing on the streets, you are preaching. In fact, people want to beat you. For some of us, if they just raise their eye on us, I say, okay, God needs us on this side of heaven, please. Let me go to where they will receive me. And he's standing and he's confronting people. And you, all you could get from that was, he said, the kingdom of God is coming. That's all you got. No, you don't say repent. Repent is metanoia. Repent is metanoia. Right? Yeah, people don't need to repent. They need to receive. So when you see people like that, don't let it get you to a point where you think your own is over, is too much. Anybody that you see criticize the service of another man to his God will, in the nearest future, be very slack. I'll say one more time. Anybody you see criticizing the service of a man to his own God in the nearest future might not have a Christian life again. Might not have a Christian life again. So what's the best way to approach it? What do you say? Man, this is encouraging. This is enduring. I'm trusting God that someday I'll get there. You see, there might be a tendency in your Christian life you may never get there. But let it be that it's something in your mind that you are trying to achieve gradually, gradually, gradually. Because for some people, you cannot get it overnight. You know, I give an example of a friend of mine who was traveling 8 hours every Sunday for church for over a year. Sorry, 16 hours. Right? You know, this statement is one of the ways I used to sieve my friends. Hello, are we here? It's one of the ways I sieve my friends. You know what they call sieve? I know how to sieve my friends with this kind of statement. All I do is I just throw the conversation to you. I have one of this, my friend, though. He does about 8 hours to go. One of my friends just shouted, just say, no church in this area. I say, we cannot be friends. You understand? If you know what you want, you will go for what you want. What should be a better response to that? You say, oh, wow, that takes a lot of commitment. Wow. Even if you end at wow, you will still be my friend. Because I just say, just open your mouth, don't do like siren. Wow, 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 that's good. Wow, just say wow. No church in his end. This brother, that father asked me, and I said, what do you actually think about some kind of? I said, you don't know what you've just done for yourself. This is somebody I know I cannot hold my hands together and do ministry with. It's just the reality. See, even me that is saying what I'm just saying right now, I've sat down before and asked myself a question. Do I actually think I'm at a place to do 8 hours journey to a church service on a Sunday and 8 hours back. Do you know what that means? For over a year, 8 hours, you leave your house at 12 a.m. in the morning to get to church around before 9 o'clock. And people that are living 3 minutes from the church, yeah, when they've already finished, I leave my hands in worship, they'll be entering the church and be opening doors once more. And you came from 8 hours away. And when we, and the service is not more than 3 hours, though, maybe maximum workers prayer, 4 hours. And you start going 8 hours back to start school on Monday. It was schooling. In fact, I introduced the brother to my wife a couple months ago. Some level of commitment. So when I see things like that, what does it do to me? I'll say, ah, man, God help me. God help your boy. God help your son. People ask. So cannot afford to be complaining about very minor things. Because there are people in more difficult position than I am. And they are serving Jesus effectively. If I even heard that he got to a point where he began to take some disciples along with him. He began to take disciples along with him for 8 hours. That's huge. So when you see the sacrifices that men are giving for the sake of the gospel, let it spawn in you a desire to keep burning much more for God. Sometimes you just hear some people and what they are going through and just get back home and just go and talk in tongues for like 3 hours. You know what they call angry tongues? You'll just be angry in tongues. And just be like, yeah, yeah. And what is your anger for? Don't be angry. Make sure you now break it to yama egg. She just angry. You put yama egg. After all, you cut yam, you cut egg. Is he that eats that lives to see tomorrow? Is it that the land that is through the ministry? Yeah? It is what it is. You see people who are very fervent in the things of God. Never get to a point where you criticize somebody's devotion to his God. You know, in our world, for instance, the major part where people actually have this issue is when it comes to money. Why are you fighting? Somebody gave a church $1 billion. Why are you crying? If you trace it well, they are pinning, it's pinning them. No billionaire talks that way against it online. Not one. I'm not talking about unbelieving billionaires. Because they know, do you know how many decisions you need to make to be able to have $1 billion in your account, liquidity? Do you know how many offices you've stepped in? Do you know how many signatures? Do you know what life has taught you? You think $1 billion, well, I'm not talking about pounds, though. I'm talking about basic currency, basic. Right? Yeah? That's like 500,000, let me put it in our account, £500,000. Man. They brainwash you. Please, where did they brainwash people like that? I want to go and partake. Does anybody know where they brainwash people like that? That they can give £500,000. Please, let me go there. Because for you to give £500,000, it means you have more. Nobody that gives £500,000 is closing their account. You don't see it that way. You don't see it that way. You have a structure where there will probably be a COO or CFO that signs some approval before that kind of money leaves the account. So you are not closing, you don't close your company. That's why I say, why? All these churches just be taking people's money. We need more roads. Let me ask you a question. Where in the Bible did the Bible teach that the church is responsible for repairing the road to your house? The church is not responsible for repairing the road to your house. The church is not responsible for giving government more money to support fuel for their bosses. The church is responsible for what? Getting souls saved. And what again? Getting them discipled and trained. So if a Christian decides to give £1 billion to do a road, is that good? It's right in fact. But if he doesn't do it, if the church doesn't do it, what happens? It is life. We move on. So when you start seeing people, you know, I know, and let me also say this, you know, the truth is, a lot of times, and anyways, there's a spirit of covetousness that is, let me say this way, there's a spirit of stinginess that is wrapped as covetousness, right? Such that you find it difficult to give an amount to the local church or to the church. Right? Because you think it is too big for the church. That's covetousness. What you think? Ah, this church, I'm meeting under the tree. Self, do they really deserve? That's covetousness. Yeah, that's covetousness. And the truth is that it is evident. You know, if you cannot give £1,000 as your, what do you call it? As your offering, what you call offering or gift or title, whatever name you call it, right? You know you cannot give £1,000,000. Those that give £1,000,000,000, they are those that have overcome when they had £1,000 to give and they gave. God, I just want to have my money. You know, I hope you know that your needs, your wants are insatiable. No matter how much you cut your clothes, some things will just poke the head from one location and wait to make you spend more money. So if you are somebody who you think £500, £1,000 is too big. I'm saying in so 500 pounds, let's assume you earn £5,000, as it were. So people call it 10% with what? 500, right? So what you call tight. Yeah. If you earn £5,000 from this time, £500 is too big. I can tell you for free that when you earn £500,000, £50,000 will be too big. In fact, you even need to help the church to explain. I say, I don't want the government to look into the church, the church administration, so that the government does not begin to look like there's crime. Yeah? If I agree that is your level of spirituality, don't now begin to talk to people who are giving £50,000 and say, no, they don't know what to do with money. What a statement to make. Someone earned his money and decided to give it to God by giving it to his church, to his pastor, to his whatever it is. You know, I always say, for instance, yeah, there's some things to criticize because you don't do it. The pastor was in my house a couple of weeks ago, right? I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, right? He was in my house, I was talking to him, he said, do you see yourself owning a private jet? You know, me, 10 years ago, my answer would have been different. My answer would have been different. Yeah, I probably would have said no outrightly with whatever explanation I think made sense to me. And it was still making sense to me then. When he asked me, how to listen, and the question is, what are the factors you are considering? What are the things you are putting into place? Yeah? Are you asking if I will own a private jet when our church becomes a million souls? Are you asking me if I will own a private jet when we have churches in 100 cities? That's the question. My goal is not to, I don't have a vision to buy a private jet. It's not in my vision. Do you understand? But I cannot begin to speak to a pastor who has churches in 150 nations around the world, saying he's supposed to sell down. Listen, he's supposed to sell the private jet to feed the poor. Simple question: are you using iPhone 16? No. You are using iPhone 16. Even 17, the new one just came out. It's coming out. You are using iPhone 17 to make phone call. And you are walking past people that are not feeding once a day. Why don't you sell your phone and use Motorola X7? Why don't you use landline? You see, we are all deceiving ourselves. We are just jealous of people that have those things. If you know your phone is only communication, do you understand how you think your phone is, whilst it's for communication, you can get some other benefits from it by buying the recent one? Clearer pictures, beautiful, you know, speed on your phone, right? But somebody who's in a position where he needs to, do you know what it is to fly from Edinburgh Airport? You need an average of 2.5 or 3 hours ahead of your flight to go and sit down in one place there. What somebody can use to do something else. You know, you can preach in a church in a city and straight a car takes you to the foot of your plane and you go to another country to go and preach. You know, I began to caution myself as a pastor to ensure that I'm not talking from a place where I have not experienced. It's not wise, though. Stop talking from places where you've not experienced. Any pastor that desires private jet is a materialistic. Okay, I agree. I'm material. Is it not material I'm wearing? I'm materialistic. Leave me alone. Like I said, I don't have a personal vision to have that. But the truth remains that there'll be time. Are you telling me church will not get to a time where one of you will get one Rolls Royce? I just say, Pastor, please, we just wanted to just bless you. Say amen, though. Because to give Rolls Royce means you have plenty more money. So at least my money is just small. I'm not asking for more. Just Rolls Royce. I will receive it. Amen. I just want to shout amen. The family team. You give her to give me. So she will give her personal one. You give her personal one. I will not send my own to feed the poor. I will send my own to feed the poor. We'll use other money to feed the poor. Do you know what I'm trying to say? How can church be growing? Do you understand that a pastor, for a human being to give a pastor Rolls Royce, that pastor has blessed their life. Most times, pastors meet people when people were nobody and stand with them to become somebody. A little gift of token you are giving your pastor, somebody is now boxing you together to feel like it's too much. Somebody is now putting you in the corner and saying, no, I just feel like it. Who stays with people at their lowest point more than pastors? Even therapists, to pay them for 2-3 weeks, they leave you. Once you finish your 2 weeks, you expire. If you like, heal your mind. If you like, don't heal your mind, they will move on. But your pastor will be there with you, will hold your hand, he will stay with you, will ensure that he is there for you, and in mind you, he has no issue. Somebody now say, want to give our pastor. If someone now put your mind, anytime people want to gather and give me gifts, maybe you just say something. And one person in that church, in the group, just say, I feel like this is too much for now. Just report the person to me. I know what to do. Just say, muted. Just tell the person, muted. Just say, pastor, there's something I want to tell you privately. Yeah. You can even tell me, don't tell anybody this one. You can even tell me this. Pastor, please don't tell anybody this. But I just want to tell you that I wanted to give you this gift. I wanted to give you the resource. I want to go say, I did not want to stop me. That brought down that sister. So then you will know that power past power. Hey, la 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 la. Do you understand? Yeah. Think about, in fact, for some of you, we are just starting as a church. Think about where some of you were 2 years ago. Think about where you are 2 years after. For some of you in Nigerian church, think about where you were 7 years ago. Think about where you are now. Think about who has been the consistent face in all the situations. It's not your mother, not your father, not your brother, not your sister, it's your pastor. Someone said they want to give their pastor, and I say, my dad used to say something. My dad will say, so a preacher had reached out to him and said, hey, it's very painful. He said, there are some people who think there are some gifts are too big for you. Hey, but today it still pains me. My dad will be there for them in their tears, in their sleepless nights, but they would rather to go and give their gifts to a man that does not know them. So we want to help the work of God in this church. But bless the heart of my dad, you know, he just kept doing all he was doing. You know, that's why sometimes when pastors change in their reaction to people, it's experience sometimes. I'm not saying pastors should be changing, but experience can make you change. It might not be your intention, but you just subconsciously change. Yeah, you know, sometimes you even ask yourself some questions where maybe imagine as a pastor, you pour yourself into somebody you think, you know, is going to stay with you for a very long time as a minister. Right? You know, sometimes you have those experiences and they eventually, for some reasons, leave. And sometimes the way they even left is maybe, you know, full of offense and the likes. But you know, as a pastor, one of the things I always say to myself is simple, right? Don't treat people thinking or asking yourself questions like, what if they leave? Treat people asking yourself questions like, what if they stay? Because if I were to train you, for instance, right, and I feel like you will leave, right? And for instance, let's assume 20 years down the line, you've not left. But 20 years ago, I didn't give you the training I should have given you to hold more responsibility. Now, 20 years down the line, who loses? I lose. Right? Pastors will always go through strange experiences, but guess what? They always come. Pastor is somebody who arrows are getting to from left, right, center. When I talk about pastor, it also includes pastor, his wife, and his family, and his children, because he follows come. Yeah, one of the things you would always find out as a pastor was, and I'm saying obviously so you can set an example, is you will have to learn to forgive. Forgiveness sometimes is hard, though. Don't worry, I know. Forgiveness sometimes is hard. It's hard, but you will learn to forgive. You will learn to move on. You will learn to forgive. You learn to move on. Why? Because Jesus suffered. It's part of suffering. And he has given us what? An example that we'll follow in his steps. Let's begin to wrap up this morning. Look at Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 40. Matthew 26, verse 40. Now, one of the things this game you should ensure you do, regardless of whatever phase you are in as a believer, is to see what it says here. Look at verse 40. It says, and he cometh, let's read together as a family, 1, 2, 3, go. And he cometh unto disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? He went away again the second time and prayed, and he said, oh, my father, if this cup pass over me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Verse 43 now says, and he came and found them what? Sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. That means their sleep was deep. One of the things you should always ensure you do as a Christian every phase of your life is to stay praying. And learn to pray for long. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Learn to pray for long as well. Praying for long is part of the training that a believer needs. It builds in you commitment. It builds in you stability. It builds in you an ability to be patient. Look at Luke's Gospel 18, verse 1. He says, and he spake this parable unto them to the end that men ought to pray. That means the reason for the parable is to get to the end or the conclusion that a man needs to pray. That men ought to what? Always to pray and not to faint. The word there, faint, there does not mean, you know, when somebody loses breath and they're out of breath. No. So men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint there actually means to give up or turn out badly. Altogether, to give up or turn out badly. To lose steam or energy. Right? To lose steam or energy. So there's a lot about spending time and taking out time and spending time in the place of prayer. Build that culture of spending time in the place of prayer. Build that consistency of spending time in the place of prayer. Ensure you are consistently praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 will say, pray without what? Season. I hope you know that the word pray without season is not pray without season as per winter, autumn, and summer. Pray without season just really means pray and don't faint. That means continue through it. You know, prayer will not always be comfortable. Is that correct? But one of the things we're learning today is that what you will leave your comfort zone to ensure that you do certain things to keep your Christian life aglow. Say, I stay fervent. Say, I stay committed to ministry. Say, my better days are ahead. Say, my better days are ahead. Say, I see myself decades from now in the will of the Father. Say, I see myself years from now in the will of the Father. Say, I am not complacent. I am not one who gives excuses. I am not one who wants to serve Jesus from the comfortable place. I am one who will leave my comforts, who will leave my comforts to ensure that the will of God is done in the earth. Have you heard about people who have done missionary works, going to places where the war is very thick? If at all your mind does not, your heart has not carried you to do that kind of thing, what do you do for people like that? You pray for them. There are people who leave their families. And in leaving their families, they will go to regions where they are bombing. You know what it means to be bombing? You can just be moving like this right now. Even the car you are in, you are not sure if it has a bomb. But it will say, for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. Think about the men who took the gospel to places like Iran or Iraq to establish the will of God, establish churches there. Think about men who are planting church in places like China. Do you know there are people who are meeting today as Sunday, and they are meeting in caves. And they put somebody at the edge of the rock to be checking. If you see any green uniform, call our attention so we can all run. And they are rejoicing, and they are jumping, and they are celebrating. We were not even doing as much as that. We're just saying, just the one we are even doing Just ensure that you are committed and devoted to it. Some of us think it is too much. You know, if you find out how people are serving Jesus, you will know you are doing nothing. Are you here? You will know you are doing nothing. You know, it might look as though the people that are doing Christian faith are the more unserious ones that are popular or there are many. It's not true. It's not true. It is social media that makes it that way. You know, there are people who are doing great works, great work behind the scene. They don't have a social media page. Do you know there's a possibility that people are doing some very mighty work in Edinburgh and nobody knows their name? I always tell myself, right? I don't put myself in a position where I think like we are the only churches that are sounding. And don't say that to invite anybody to church. Don't bother telling somebody, say our church is the only serious church in the whole Edinburgh. Who told you that? You don't need to preach that way. Any other church you go to, is it this, is it that? Some of us, you haven't good bold at mentioning name. Is it this, is it that? Is it that all of them are all joking? No, it's not necessary. Preach about the fervency that you think you have on the ministry you attend. That's enough. Looking forward to days where we will not... You know, we have people who are doing work behind the scene. There's a man who just became popular, what you call popular in Nigeria. What's his name? Baba something. Baba Omaleye or something like that. Yeah, I think he became popular. Right? Yeah, Reverend Isaac. Do you know, he has been in ministry for over 50 years. Nobody knew him. Right? But 3-4 years ago, some of you, the only time you heard his name for the first time, in fact, most of us, we heard his name for the first time 3 years ago, 4 years ago, where maybe 2 or 3 clips came around and busted the internet. Somebody has been committed for 50 years doing the work. I used to watch some of his experiences and stories, how he goes with his children for evangelism in East Africa, in South Africa, in Northern Africa, where he will go to places where they cannot speak proper English. He was talking about the story of people who were coming for his crusade. It took them almost 3 days to trek to the crusade. 3 days. To trek to the crusade. Unfortunately, I think maybe rain happened or something happened such that when they eventually got to the crusade had finished. They had to now take another 3-4 days back to where they were coming from. Where he would go to a place, for instance, where you see, but a lot of people don't know the work that people... See, God has men. One thing I know, God has men. One man in the Bible was saying, you know, it's only me that is here. Only me that is here. What did God say? I have some numbers. God is so strategic. Not everybody will be on social media. Forget YouTube. Forget the excerpts we are doing. Excerpts are good. They are beautiful. We love them. There are people who are building men that will stand the test of time in the days to come. God has men. So don't put yourself in a position and say, the only serious people in the only church that is serious in the whole of Scotland is not true. In fact, people that even say those kind of things, they are unserious. You're all serious. How can people be going for their own local church service? You just decide and just conclude that only your church is the serious church. God has men. You see, God is wise now. You don't know. He's wise now. There are people who you can say the reason they are not social media is because of their conservatism. God is working with it. Think what I just said. God is working with it. What they would rather that they would just be at the back end of the scene. Right? Baba Omaleye, for instance, we're talking about, he's in the same category with a lot of people you call the fathers of faith in Africa. But yet, he was laboring at the back of the scene, doing a lot of work behind the scene. Nobody knew his name. Not everybody will be known. But bless your heart that you are known by God at least. That's what matters. That's what I'm saying to you. What do you do in the secret place? What do you do in the private place? Not everybody will be known, no. Not everybody will be trendy. Not everybody will trend. If you like, do sponsored ad. If you like, sponsor your ad and do £50,000 and pour it into the ad. If God me, you got me, you. If you are not the one God wants to use for that revival, it's not you. You just realize your views are getting 50,000 views per view. You're like, where are the souls translating into the work? You just realize nobody is translating any translation. But they are liking the comments. Are we together? Right? I'm just trying to say to you, always remember that God has men. Think that God has men. Their nation, you know, I was saying earlier on, someone was asking me that was my thought about the war between Israel and, you know, Iran. And I said, do you know there are more churches in Iran than in Israel? More churches. Now imagine someone now saying, no, God wants this particular country to win the war because that's where Jesus, the root of Jesse. Root of Jesse that does not have people that are praying there. We have a nation. I told you I'm subscribed to one of those, you know, write-ups where they always send to me frequently, right? And you see the things people are going through in this Christian faith. Like, God, you know, some of us we still be shouting, God, I'm eating bread. You know, just be eating, just eat bread and drink tea. God, you know, this thing is not really easy like that, too, but just God, help me. Just help me. It's a good thing to say, God, help me. But as God is giving you help, also let it be translating into so many things. You know that whether people are saved in from one church or 20 churches, it doesn't matter to God. It is that men are saved. It is that men are doing his will on the earth. So my dear saints, what am I saying to you today? My dear brothers and sisters, what am I saying to you today? You see, the meeting we had yesterday has quickened something in you. Don't use swallow and put it down. You know what they call swallow? Yeah? Don't use eba, right? Or fufu, right? Or pando, or as much as KFC chips to quench the fire. Are we together? Because God counts on you. Say, God counts on me. Say, I'll stay devoted. Look at Luke 9 as we close, as the last scripture for today. And it came to pass, verse 57, Luke 9, 57. As they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. What did Jesus say? Foxes have holes. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has what? Had not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said what? Lord, allow me to first go bury my father. Is that legitimate? To have a house to sleep, is it legitimate concern? Yeah. Look at what he says. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Look at verse 61. 1-3, go. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Verse 62 together, what did Jesus say? And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Let that always instruct your heart. You know, sometimes when you want to be lazy about the things of the Spirit, just go to Luke chapter 9, verse 54 and read it. Just go to Luke 9, 54, onward 62. Jesus says, no man putting his hand on the plow and looks back is fit. What does that mean? He's trying to say that if you decide to follow, are we together? And you now, at some point, begin to say, oh, say they are not fit. A popular song was trending recently, even though it's been a song from the old time. No, it's already too late. Even those that are singing it, that they say it's already too late, they will still finish from that church and go to the club in the night. And they will come back the next Sunday and say, I've already turned back. Is that the sorry? Okay, I won't talk back. Yeah, okay, I won't talk back. You don't get the point. I've already gone too far. I've already turned back. I've already gone too far. No. No. For some of us, songs like that is just to make us to just dance and sweat. And the moment you leave the door of the church, you've turned back. You know, a lot of times, people don't like to hear this kind of messages. You know why? Because it puts you on the spot. People don't like to hear things like, because they're like, Pastor, come on. I thought Pastor would do in Christ, they're reloaded today. Reloaded. We've been reading you since. We've been reloading you. What have we done? Rekindle too. We've done reloaded in Christ. We've done times of refreshing. When do you want to hear this one? Dear saints, let this minister to you.